This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And this week we are talking about Batman Caped Crusader.
Ah, Batman. We love talking about Batman, don't we, Tom? This is one of our favorite characters in fiction. And Batman is an interesting character that we just talk over and over. And last time, I believe, we talked about Batman was the Batman in 2022.
Oh no, John. Talked about Batman was The Flash 2023.
Oh, great. Now, I can't block that out of my mind now. So, okay, that's horrible to think about. But into perspective, the last good adaptation of Batman was Matt Reeves' The Batman. And I loved that. That was great. I thought it was amazing. But this particular animated show has some history. This was announced a couple of years ago. And we were like, oh, this is going to be great to see an animated Batman that is executive produced by Matt Reeves and other great animators as well. And then it was about to be canceled. And it was like, what? Zalza, what are you doing? This was such a horrible time to be in, with Zalza shelving shows, Batgirl for a tax write-off, and it's just beyond insane he would do this. But thankfully, Amazon Prime bought the show, and I'm really thankful that we get to see it. I'm glad that the show has seen the light of day. There's some awesome Batman shows that we've seen, like, what was it, Batman? I know there's the animated show, but then there's the other one that I've forgot. That was very cartoonishy.
You could be thinking of a whole, Batman the Animated Series, The New Adventures of Batman, The Brave and the Bold.
The Brave and the Bold, that's it.
I mean, that's one that we used to watch. I mean, currently, if you want to talk about Batman on TV, I'm rewatching Gotham, because Gotham is having its 10th anniversary in September, so I'm watching it all through, and just, you can't go wrong with Batman. I mean, this actually, just in the second half of 2024, we've got a lot of Batman-adjacent projects. Obviously, we've got Caped Crusader, The Penguin. We're going to do both Joker films on the pod. That's really exciting stuff. I think you can't go wrong with Batman. And actually, I was just trying to find the date, but either today or yesterday, as we were recording this, is the 2-year anniversary of Batgirl getting cancelled. It's really depressing, actually, to think about it. It's been 2 years, and it doesn't look like that film is ever going to see the light of day, which is just a travesty. But in many ways, this show kind of takes Batman back to what it was predominantly in the 90s and the early 2000s, a kind of Saturday morning cartoon vibe. And I know that it's not exactly that, because obviously this show dropped on Prime all at once. The classic binge model, it's back, and as ever, I wish it was weekly, but in the 90s, Batman cinematically was dead. Batman Forever and Batman and Robin really killed it for the audiences, and it wasn't until Batman Begins. So really, where Batman got alive for a whole sub-generation of kids was with the animated series, and it's really interesting to see this, again, from Bruce Timm, who was the main creative mind behind the animated series, see him do a different spin on it to kind of change things up. That's really cool to see.
Yeah, I love that. It just kind of brought out nostalgia for me to see Bruce Timm's style onto here with the animated show. And there's one thing that I absolutely love about Batman is the designs that you get to see over the years. This Batman design is definitely from the 1939 version of Batman, like the early days of Batman, which I really like. You get to see that in Zero Year as well, in Scott Snyder's comic one. I absolutely loved Zero Year. Zero Year really defined Batman, and the ending really hit me hard. It was like, whoa, okay, that is totally the mind of Batman. So I loved the design for this show. I thought it was like that 30s or 40s aspect. We're getting to the gritty crime, you know, detective feel to it. You know, like, this is Batman. He's the world's greatest detective. And I think many people forget that. I mean, yeah, he does have armor, gadgets, but he is a great detective. And there's some great comics that really explore that. But I'm really glad we get to see it more detective side in this show, because it's like technology isn't really advanced in this show. This is like set in the 1940s, so
I think it's really great with this, and also the Batman, we are leaning more into that detective side of the character, almost as if that's what Matt Reeves, he was like, okay, I've got the opportunity here to make a couple of adaptations of Batman, and I'm gonna go hard with the detective work. joke. There's actually a couple of other things that I want to talk about when we get into spoilers that I think is funny that Matt Reeves is doing across different iterations of the character. But it is really cool to see another interesting avenue for the character. I loved the noir elements in this, as you said, like 30s, 40s, 50s cinema homages. Like in episode 2, we get a sword fight up some stairs, and there's a whole scene in episode 8 with a lightning show at the circus, or there's a literal exorcism in episode 6. And I thought all those elements really came together nicely to give this show this feel. I mean, Bruce Timm said that he was inspired by Universal Monster movies, Warner Brothers gangster movies, Republic serials, and I think the series feels like the perfect blend of its influences. It really nails the feeling and tone of it, and through that, it's not just a repeat of the animated series. Bruce Timm also said that he was approached to do more of the animated series, and he didn't want to because you're revisiting the same world, and why? What do we have to gain from just revisiting the same thing again? Actually, a lot of superhero media right now is exactly that. It's like, hey, remember this? And it's like, yeah, I do remember this, but you're never going to recapture it the same way. So I love how this series throws out a lot of Batman conventions and just kind of says, yeah, we're in the 50s or the 40s now, and the Penguin is gender bent, and Harley Quinn is completely different to how you've ever seen, and a lot of things are really different, and that is 100% a strength of this series.
Yes, I agree. This show has such a unique take on the villains, and I'm really glad that there are new ways to show a villain as well, which we'll get into some of the great villains in this show. But what I really like is that it's mostly episodic, and there is this overarching theme for Batman, realizing about his past and realizing how he is chasing other people as well, like Alfred. Oh, and also, Alfred's one of the best characters in DC history. You cannot deny he has done some badass stuff as well. I love Alfred. Alfred, what can I say? He's just a character that you just want to hang out with.
Yes.
You know, I really like Alfred in the show as well, so Alfred. Yeah. I don't know why that came to my mind with the meme, like, oh, Master Bruce, Bane was scary.
Yeah, I'm terrified of Bane. Yeah, well, what I love about this iteration of Alfred is that it's very much that classic butler type, because we've had a lot of iterations of Alfred that have been a little bit more of a tinkerer, somebody who's more technologically savvy, somebody who's a bit of a brawler. We had a whole show, Pennyworth, the origin of Batman's butler, or whatever it's called.
Alfred, guys.
Yeah.
How I became a butler.
We're exploring him in the military. We're exploring him in all these ways. And I love all that. I love it to see Alfred expanded on, do different things with. And as I said earlier, this show does a lot of different things with a lot of characters. But Alfred, he's pretty basic. Alfred, just butler, somebody who's there for Bruce. And I thought that was really great just to see. There's a really nice arc in this series. The whole time, Bruce is calling Alfred Pennyworth. And there's clearly a barrier in their relationship. It's clearly not quite there until the end, where we do get that moment where the two of them bond and Bruce calls him Alfred for the first time. And I thought that was really interesting to see that level. Again, Matt Reeves, it's similar to what he does in The Batman, where Bruce and Alfred's relationship is strained, and then part of Bruce's arc is opening up a little bit more to Alfred. It's not something that every Batman story does. It's by no means a new thing for Batman, but Matt, I'm on to you. I can see what you're doing here. You're tying the same strings.
Yeah, I love when characters get developed from being a complete horrible person to being something like he's kind to others as well. I really love moments like that that just really define characters to grow. And Batman, yeah, it's like the impact, seeing the villains for the first time, you know, how the villains impact him, going through all that, define Gotham as well, and how does he fight for that.
And there's a lot of stuff that I think is core elements of Batman, things that sometimes you might get a film where they don't nail this stuff, and I think, okay, well, the film isn't necessarily bad, but you're really holding yourself back. I love how this Gotham, it feels like a city that's eating itself through crime and corruption, which is juxtaposed by people like Batman and Jim and Barbara and Montoya, who all want to genuinely do the right thing for the right reasons. And I think the series really nails that quality. It understands that Batman can't just take place in any city. Gotham itself is this creature that festers and that poisons everything. And I thought that was really great. And they inject that with all this noir stuff. But then you just be hit with the coolest Batman scene out of nowhere, like him performing an exorcism. Cool, man. Like, I don't even want to like complain. And
this
I really
show
love
has
that
everything,
it,
really. This it, show has
it does.
Everything. I love that.
Yeah. And across 10 episodes, we really get a flavor of a load of different things. Obviously, animated series traditionally would be that kind of 22 episode seasons. And I've course I would love more of this, and we are getting a season two, which is great. It is worth saying that in only 10 episodes, they really managed to capture what this world is and give us a sense of character arcs. And I think we can only go up from here. It doesn't feel like we're at the mercy of too few episodes. A lot of streaming shows we talk about and we're like, ah, the episodes are too short. We need more episodes. It doesn't feel like that here. It feels like they know exactly what they want to hit. And 10 episodes is a good number for that, to really kind of express this world. It's a lot of really great elements. I think the music, it hits that nice little noir.
For that?
Yeah, right? It's
that
really cool.
Slaps.
Does it hit Batman? I feel like maybe Batman could have a more defined theme, but it certainly hits that noir. And getting to realize this in animation is really great as well. Even though the animation isn't amazing, like it's kind of slow and lifeless. I think there's a lot of background characters who are just standing there, just doing nothing. I hope that Creature Commandos and the other upcoming DCU animations don't look like that. Clearly, there were budgeting restraints. And if that's what we need to tell this story, then great. But especially, I mean, I watched X-Men 97 last week, and it's so great. And the animation is so brilliant that going from that to this, I was just like, okay, well, this is kind of a bit underwhelming.
Yeah, that is such a weird whiplash. I'm like, oh, this animation is so peak right here, guys. But here, yeah, there's nothing really happening in the background. And I wish we could have seen more Gotham or characters in the background that doing something as well. But at the end of the day, animation is really hard. So we cannot just like criticize. We don't even know how to animate well. So
yeah, no, we're not saying that we could do a better job.
I really like the action sequences, though, with the animation. I thought the animation was really cool, like the sword fighting that you mentioned. There was one at the dockyard at the end of episode 10. There was one with the hitman. They've done an excellent job on the action sequences as well, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's some good stuff with shadows, and you just see the action from like a shadow on the wall. That's very classic Batman. It's cool to see on the page in live action animation. I can't help but smile at stuff like that. Let's get into spoilers, because yes, I'd like to talk about the villains. One of the things that was very telegraphed before the show was like, hey, look, we're doing different things with the villains. Obviously, there was tons of controversy surrounding the Penguin, but I thought the villains in every single episode were fantastic. Yeah. We do just something different with every single one. As I said earlier, Penguin's a woman. Harley Quinn is not tied to the Joker at all and is a completely different character, completely different personality. We get a different kind of Firefly, a different kind of Grey Ghost-esque thing, and also a different kind of Two-Face. And I thought that every single one of them really, really worked.
We get to see different genres in each episode as well. We've got the psychological side, which is Harley Quinn, which was so refreshing to see, you know, like a different take for Harley becoming an actual villain in a way of like not somebody else, like the Joker, for example, like that led on to become insane. This Harley Quinn was so interesting. She's so obsessed with fixing other people, but going beyond psychological needs and just treating them like completely different people. That's excellent to see someone who's driven by therapy and trying to do the right thing, but going completely insane with that. So I was really happy with that. I was like, I was worried, oh no, are they going to bring the Joker to this as well? But yeah, I loved Clayface. I loved Two-Face. Two-Face was actually my favorite out of this whole thing, because it's like they've made Two-Face a lot more sympathetic, and I thought that was just so powerful to have that. And again, Bruce's arc as well, is he just wanted to prove people right with this whole thing with Harvey Dent, but then he pushes that way too far. Harvey, at the end of episode 10, sacrifices himself for Barbara. So yeah, and Barbara was great as well. I love Barbara. She gets to be a character that takes action in this show.
Yeah, it's really good to see so much emphasis on the GCPD. We get to see the good cops and the more corrupt ones, and it's really great to have Barbara especially and Montoya as the almost secondary protagonist throughout. And there was a rumor going around beforehand that there was going to be a bit of a Bruce Barbara romance, and that doesn't happen.
Look,
I have no idea.
Why would people be misinformed about that? There was nothing like that. Okay, if people are saying like, oh, there was like a Batman Barbara thing, your mind goes back to that movie.
Oh no. The killing
we're not
joke?
Not the killing joke.
It's a relationship that doesn't work for all kinds of reasons. So yes. I don't know why people thought that it was in this, because it's not.
There was nothing like that. Nothing like that. I was like, okay, I don't know why people lie about that. It's so odd.
It's something that I do not care for. And I think a lot of people share that mentality. But it is really fantastic to see all these different things. I mean, mean, in the case of Two-Face, he's a tragic character. You Very can't tragic. Introduce Harvey Dent in a piece of Batman media without that understanding of, yeah, he is going to end up a shell of who he was. You see it in The Dark Knight or in even something like Gotham Knights. It's interesting because something like Batman 89 introduces Billy Dee Williams as Harvey Dent. We never get to see his Two-Face specifically, but you always kind of understand it when you see Harvey, that he will become this monster and allow himself to become that monster, forget what he was fighting for. And it's really interesting to see it again in this one. I have to say, his scar is normally on the right side, but this time it was on the left side, and you ruined it. Bruce Timm, Matt Reeves, J.J. Abrams, you fucked it up.
It's ruined it.
0 out of 10, for God's sake.
0 out of 10. The designs for the villains are just excellent as well. Like, Basil Carlo's Clayface is definitely referring to the first iteration of Clayface with the hat and the bandana. And
yeah, bandana. It's very dark man as well.
Very dark man. Yes.
Yeah.
Very
I thought that was really cool to see a lot of these getting their early iterations. And that's what we're basing it on. But when it comes to Harley Quinn, what do you do? Because Harley Quinn was made for the 90s series. So she doesn't have like those 50s, 60s incarnations. And the genius of this is that Bruce Timm, he made Harley Quinn. She is from the animated series. And so he can say, this is my character and I'm going to do a different spin. A lot of Harley Quinn stories, as good as they are, do unfortunately just focus on the Joker or her trying to escape from the Joker. A lot of them don't really know what to do once she's free on her own, I've found. I thought the Harley Quinn show, for example, was really great in its first few seasons, but I kind of lost it a little bit because it didn't feel like it had that much of a direction. But this, as you said earlier, to see her as somebody who is fascinated by her profession, by mental health, and the way that she tries to understand and also fix people is a really interesting take. And we see a completely different personality, a completely different look with the green and the white and the yellow. Really, really great to see that kind of stuff. And also, the Penguin is a lounge singer. Brilliant. Just
Hell
great.
Yeah.
A crime boss and also owns the Iceberg Lounge and sings there. Just fantastic.
Hell yeah. That has so many levels to be a crime boss and then a singer as well. It's like, all right, everybody, I'm going to sing a song before I take down the entire building right here. I love that. You know what I really want? Some kind of musical. There was one time when Batman sang for the magician.
Zatanna?
Yeah, he sang for her and Cameron Conroy actually sang for that.
Oh.
And it was beautiful. I wish there was like some musical bits for Batman. I don't know. That would be some insane take for me to be like, why do you want to show a musical about Gotham? It's horrible. It's terrible.
I love it whenever a superhero thing does a musical element.
The
I was
Flash.
Hoping for... Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Dynamic Duet is...
Oh, Dynamic
Duet.
This
is one
Duet.
Of the most fun episodes of the Arrowverse. That entire musical, it's perfect.
Yeah.
As I said last week, we did Deadpool and Wolverine, and I really wanted them to sing, and they didn't sing. But on your point about Kevin Conroy, obviously, the GOAT. I mean, rest
the
in
goat.
Peace. The greatest Batman that there will ever be. And I'm really happy that this show wasn't a continuation of the animated series, because how do you do that without Kevin Conroy? I have no idea. It was really great to get this new cast. We have Hamish Linklater as Batman, who I think is fantastic, and just the rest
Excellent.
Of the cast is incredible. And I'm just finding out that Jason Watkins played Alfred Pennyworth. Gordon Shakespeare from Nativity, the man himself.
Oh my God, it's Gordon Shakespeare. Big
oh
moment
God.
Right there.
Yes.
Voice acting for the show is great. And I think voice acting also just doesn't get a lot of notice as well. But I thought Hamish's voice acting was just excellent as Batman. It was very similar to Kevin Conroy's voice, which I don't mind at all. It just had that presence as the Batman. And I wish there was more episodes to explore Batman's psychological side to it, because there was a really interesting concept for episode 3 for Bruce to understand the past, to understand that there's something that is repressing. And I thought that was excellent to introduce Harley Quinn as well, to get rich people to understand about their needs. But Bruce is such a interesting side of Batman to go through all that. And there were some moments that really remind me of the earlier stuff about Batman. Like, this gets brought up so many times where Batman comforts a girl called Ace who's about to die. That is such a powerful and emotional moment. But it really reminded me of that in the circus episode, and he comforts Natalia, and that was like the right step forward, because it's just like that side of Batman I want to see, like that hopefulness is just so emotional, it's just so impactful. Batman helping kind of tears me up. I'm like, oh my God, he's helping people. Oh
yeah,
my
I mean
God.
Superheroes are always the best when they're actually helping people. It really does do a lot when you see someone like Batman in those situations and, you know, comforting. And I want to ask, to kind of close us out, so we are getting a season 2, where do you want this this to go. I mean, Harley Quinn's still alive. Ooh. We actually got in the circus episode all the kids who were kidnapped: Dick Grayson, Jason Todd, Stephanie Brown, Carrie Kelly. You know, that's a big bunch of the Robins right there. I mean, Tim Drake's probably off having a lovely dinner with his parents somewhere. But, you know, they are all in that episode. We could do Justice League. We also got a Joker tease and Matt, I see you. If I had a penny for every time a Matt Reeves Batman story ended with a Joker tease, I'd have 2 pennies, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice. So what do you think would happen? What do you think you want to see for season 2?
I actually want to see more villains. Because what I was so surprised is that there's popular villains in the Batman world: Bane, Joker, Mr. Freeze. Yeah, Mr. Freeze. I don't know why my brain went to Dr. Freeze. It's like Dr. Doom.
Oh, God. No, we've cast Robert Downey Jr. as Mr. Freeze.
Oh, Mr. Freeze, guys. Oh, my God. He's going to be cold. But yeah, more villains. Give us a more emotional character arc for Batman as well in this one. That you get to see it subtly in this one. But yeah, give me more villains, please. It was really nice to have this like comfort show. I don't know why it was like a comfort show in a way. Like, it's just switch your brain off and it's just sort of like, you know, Batman. Man is just beating up.
Comfort show. You just watch a man beat other men to pulps. You know, sometimes women, sometimes children, just fists out, you know, hit them with the car, all that stuff. And you just sit back and you feel comforted in your heart.
No, it's just the more Batman said. But yeah, violence.
No. Yeah. Violence. No, yeah. I get you. I think absolutely we would have been treated to have this show over 10 weeks. And it's such a shame again that, like, you know, I had a good time watching this all in one go.
Give us weekly.
It would have been so great to watch it over the course of 10 weeks and just kind of sit back and be like, yeah. And it's probably not going to happen, but if season 2 is weekly, it would be so much better. I think that it would be interesting in season 2 to see more villains. Absolutely. Mr. Freeze is probably the one that I want to see because so many adaptations of Mr. Freeze are forgotten about because everyone just remembers the Arnold Schwarzenegger one, which is funny, but like, he's so much more than that. I don't really want to see this Batman expand into the Justice League. I think we should keep it focused, but I do want to see a Robin. Much like Mr. Freeze, a lot of people aren't really interested in Robin, and a lot of Batman stories that we've had are just like, yeah, it's Batman on his own or Batman post-Robin. Robin is so important to the mythos, and I think we should 100% get a Robin in this show. That would be fantastic. Yeah. So, Batman Caped Crusader, season 1, what are you going to give it out of 10?
I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, me too. Solid 8. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, John, are you ready? It's Borderlands. I know that you are. And I can see the hype in your eyes.
I'm just terrified at this point. Like, I've seen the promotional clips. There's one of them where Jack Black is Claptrap. We're not going to survive this film. We're not going to survive this film, Tom. Please. We've seen some stuff this year. Anyway.
Yes, indeed. And you can send us an email at ourstimefilmpod@gmail.com. We'll be recording next Saturday. So let us know your thoughts on Borderlands by then. And we'll answer it right here on the podcast next week.
Yes, you can follow us on Instagram at @outoftimefilmpod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Aswell. On Twitter for more thoughts from Tom and me. And TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also in Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks to Elgin's Mayor for the excellent theme and Roland Villains for focus as always. And I think that's everything. I am not looking forward to Borderlands. Please help me. Please get me out of this void. Please, right now. Please. Guys, Tom is taking me. He's taking me.
We're going to watch Borderlands.
No.
We're going to watch it 10 times, John.
No. Get me out of this hell, please. Sorry, guys. Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.